Good morning, I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have multiple items for 9:30 agenda start, and I'm going to choose to take the 9:30 agenda start, considering taking comment on the record for intent to sell surplus property to Wilder Police Department. This will be an action item to consider resolution consenting to the sale of surplus property to Wilder Police Department. So is there anyone here that would like to give public comment? Okay. Have we received anything by email or written mail? We have not. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sounds like you have not picked a controversial subject to talk about this morning.
That's really good.
That is good. That is good. All right. Lynn, do you have anything to say? You've reviewed the resolution that's being presented?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And we've met the advertising requirements?
Yes, we have.
Okay, perfect. All right. I might say, as a resident of the city of Greenleaf, through the Wilder Police Department, this has been a absolute blessing for the county to choose to do this, to sell these to the Wilder Police Department. Wilder Police Department prioritizes and gives aid to Canyon County out at that end of the valley, as well does Parma and Homedale, and everything seems to be working really well. And one of the major components is to have a patrol vehicle that actually works when you need it. And so this helps more than just the city of Wilder. This is a great and good thing to do. So with that, is there any other discussion?
I'm in support, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, and Chairman, this is just a public comment. We had this discussion on the record with the director, and it was vetted out at that time. I'm in favor of moving forward.
Okay. There's no other further comment. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we sign the resolution consenting to the sale of surplus county property to Wilder Police Department as presented.
I'll second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So on the agenda, back at the 9:30 start time, meeting with county attorneys for legal staff updates and to consider action items. If it is okay with my other two commissioners, can I take out of order and take for the first one, consider resolution designating polling locations for the November 4th, 2025 election. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let's take up that business first. Well, imagine you two being here at a meeting like this. A lot of work's gone into this. How was it finding and collecting polling locations? Did it go okay for this?
Great. Thank you very much.
Good, good, good. I don't think the public understands the challenge that we have. Just not any old building will do. And there's lots and lots of detail that goes into this to make sure that the thing is accessible and all of the stuff that goes with it. It's more complicated than this calling up some location and say, can we use your building? Far more complicated than that. So have you reviewed this motion, and are we good to go?
Sure, I have reviewed the motion. We are good to go. We're within the timeline required as well for publishing the locations. So.
Okay, all right. And I assume our new elections building is one of the locations, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be good for the public to experience that. Some of that'll be new for some of them the first time.
So. Yeah, Chairman, I have a question. Yes. Were you able to secure, or maybe that doesn't happen because you haven't divided precincts, but will there be adequate space? I think that comes up regularly. You know, can I go in and vote? Do I have to wait long hours?
Yeah, there will be adequate space. They're the same polling locations that we had in May, with the exception of the precincts that are not open because there's nothing that they would be eligible to.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I'm in favor, Chairman. Appreciate the work that's gone into this. And with that, I move that the board signs the resolution of the Canyon County Board of Commissioners designating polling locations for the November 4th, 2025 election.
A second.
OK, Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. And so for the public listening to the audio record, this will be a PDF attachment, and you could look and see what the name of the building is, its address, city, and location. So if you're curious about that. Yes, clerk.
I know you already voted, but because the public has asked a little bit, Vote Idaho, the public can go to Vote Idaho, the website. And
Idaho is a landlocked state.
So voters right now, because some have asked whether they can find sample ballots on our website, and just so you know, for your own illumination, to let the public know, and I think Aaron Williams is present. All that information is on Vote Idaho, so as people punch in their address, they can see where their polling location is, and then if they scroll down, there's a sample ballot. And I looked at it over the weekend, and it's all available on there. So sample ballots, polling locations are all funneled through Vote Idaho. Another conversation, another time, this is just really brief, to let you know, there at the IAC conference, the clerks, we were notified that there is some concern with one of our major hosts of polling locations, which is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's negotiations with them statewide where they're potentially not going to be polling locations throughout the state of Idaho starting next year. That's going to present some challenging logistical concerns. One of the issues is they want to be named as an additional insured, and state constitution prohibits the church from being named as an additional insured. And there are discussions on how to maybe potentially resolve it, but they've been unsuccessful. We don't have as many polling locations this time because there's a few, I think, four precincts without no elections, so there's no election to hold. But 19 of our 45 polling locations last year were from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So there are discussions about potentially approaching the schools to revisit the need to coordinate and work with schools. And we know schools set their schedules well in advance, but there is a concerted effort. I'll just let you know, we're meeting with some legislators tomorrow. We're hosting a lunch and learn with some legislators and the Secretary of State to tour our building tomorrow, which, by the way, you're invited. Sorry, I should extend an invite to you at lunch. And we're going to do some talk through, but there is some proposed legislation that we're trying to push to. As you're aware, the schools must accommodate a request, but it's on their terms. It could be the band room around the corner, back around the side, or something like that. And we're talking about something that would be a little more robust, and we know it would be potentially disruptive because it would potentially involve no in-class activities for the school on election days, 2 days a year. But I just wanted to just make you aware briefly that there are some concerns, and if we don't resolve the issue with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it's not just us, it's a statewide issue. The whole state is in a challenging situation, so we're trying to address it.
Okay. Do you see the need that we formally should sit down with the school districts and give them forewarning? Because I see the need for them to not have a school day that day for security issues.
Correct. It's preliminary right now, and I know this. It wouldn't affect this election cycle, but it's really what is the future of elections administration look like in Idaho. And then there might be other churches that start pulling out too. I mean, we provide proof that we are insured, and that extends. But the sticking point with them is they want to be named as an additional insured, and the state of Idaho forbids that. We're not allowed to extend our to name someone else as an additionally insured under our policy. I would defer to legal if that's their understanding of how that works. But that's what I've been told, is to name someone else as an additional insured is not something that the state constitution allows as far as faith and credit.
Okay. All right. Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Next few items are going to be dealing with the University of Idaho Extension programs. And so let's start with the cooperative agreement.
Good morning.
Stack. All right, so let's start with the cooperative agreement, and we can go down through the others from there.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the only thing that has changed over the last year, really over the last couple weeks with the cooperative agreement, I don't know if we need to resubmit to the PA's office for that, is Diana Hoffman is no longer in our office. And her name is listed in the budget sheet. The salary remains the same for the budget for the new office coordinator. So I don't know if that's just semantics, if we need to change that to office coordinator title. We'll have a new loan employee agreement once there is a new person in that position, but it does say her name on that budget sheet.
Okay, what?
Semantics on this form. We just, if the budget's the same, that's what's the important information. We should probably ideally should list those as generic employee numbers instead of the names.
Yeah.
Document prepared by the university.
Okay. All right. Can we get that changed by the university? It's listed as generic position names or PCNs, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Chairman?
Yes.
And in this agreement, I know that Zach Wesley did a lot of work with the University of Idaho over the years. There was some negotiation, but just stating nothing new, everything's still the boilerplate that the negotiation came out at.
Correct. This is the format we've used for the last several years.
Yeah.
That's got our preferred method of dealing with the sort of shared employee situation at the extension office. And so, yep, we are good to go on all of these agreements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just as of what I did review the agreement and the amount of money that's in the agreement does match our plan with budget for FY26.
Okay. All right. Good to know. All right. All right.
Chairman, when we make this motion,
yes,
based on your comments, can we just approve the four positions as presented without specificity on the name? Is that, or do you want the names in there?
Well, we're talking about bullet point one, and if we want to talk about the other bullet points on the agenda in addition to one, they're a little bit different.
Yeah, excuse me, Chairman, you're correct.
I'd prefer if we could, let's make our consideration and motion on the first bullet point, and then the following several we could group as.
Yep, my mistake, sorry.
But it's still good to have you back.
Thank you.
I would entertain a motion then, if that would be great.
Chairman, I move that the board signs the cooperative agreement for the University of Idaho Extension Programs as presented.
I second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. So let's consider the next three bullet points on the three individuals for loaned employee agreement.
So we have agreements, Chairman, for the three current employees over there, and we'll be awaiting for the fourth one that's a replacement employee. And so these are up to date and ready to go and do not present the problem that's in the main agreement.
Okay. And can you announce the names for who
yes,
we're considering?
We have two senior customer service specialists, Tony Jones and Kelly Galloway, and then our 4-H program coordinator, Jacqueline Beaumont.
Okay. All right. So that's what we'll be considering on this next motion. Discussion or?
Chairman, I'm in favor.
I am too.
Yep, and this has been a great partnership, and I move that the board signs the loaned employee agreement for Tony Jones, Jacqueline Beaumont, and Kelly Galloway with the University of Idaho County Extension Program as presented.
I second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right.
Thank you for the continued support. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next agenda item would be consider fiscal year 2026 Canyon County lease agreement with the Norman Family Trust. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good, thank you, Chairman.
Good. And Ben, is this just a continuation of what we have been doing in the past, or is there anything different?
Mr. Chair, it is a continuation. There is a percentage price increase of, I believe, 4%, or is it 4.5%? It's somewhere around there.
Okay.
A rent increase, I think they held it steady the last 3 years, but then indicated a need to increase it this year.
Okay. Captain, any input from you? Is this facility meeting your needs for?
No, I have pretty limited information, honestly, Chairman. I'm sitting in for Captain Gentry, who was unavailable. He's out of town with the sheriff.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the amount is $4,725. It's at least during our tenure, it's been $4,500 a month.
Okay.
Chairman, I have another question. Section 2.2 under additional rent.
Okay. What's your question?
Well, my question is, I just knew that we paid the $4,500 a month. Have I been clueless on the $7,200 a year?
No, Commissioner, you haven't been clueless.
Okay.
Provision written in that if the taxes exceed $7,200 a year,
okay,
then they have the option to increase the rent to cover it over to
gotcha.
Cover that. I went back and looked at whether that provision has ever been triggered. It has not, and in this addendum, it expressly says it will not be triggered for
okay. The year. Thank you for that. I appreciate the clarification. This does serve a great purpose for our sheriff's office, and I am in favor of renewing this lease. It comes to us, I think, annually on that non-appropriations portion of that, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and sign the fiscal year 2026 Canyon County lease agreement with the Norman Family Trust as presented.
I will second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thanks, Kevin.
Captain, don't go far, Captain. Captain, you stay. We'll do the GIS next.
Okay. Okay, next is consider an MOU between Payette County and Canyon County for GIS 911 data sharing.
Mr. Chair, I'll take this one.
Okay.
Captain Talbot on this one with the ETS within the Sheriff's Office as well as IT on the GIS. This is just a preemptive work on the next gen 911 data sharing for GIS mapping for 911 services. So more than likely this is one of six that's going to come before the board for your consideration. And this is just data sharing for dispatch, and this one's for Payette County. And if you'll notice, we have Commissioner Kelso, Reby and Bishop that signed off on this as a data sharing point. And next will be Ada County, Jim, Hawaii, Washington, probably Elmore, to make sure the region is all sharing the same data. Ada really wants our data next.
Yes.
I did check with the assessor because a part of the data set that we're sharing actually has parcel owner information that the assessor owns. He reviewed this. He's good with using this agreement as long as he gets a copy of it. Otherwise, he'd have his own agreement that people have to sign off on. So I think we've covered all the aspects of this agreement.
Okay.
I don't know if you have anything.
Yeah, Chairman, Commissioners, as a former patrolman, this is valuable to us as we cross county boundaries to assist mutual aid. We're in essence operating in the blind when we cross boundaries and we're trying to assist and find addresses. So GIS information becomes very valuable to us to find addresses quickly. So this is valuable information to us as patrolmen.
Mm-hmm. Chairman, I'm in favor. I appreciate the work that's done on this.
All right. I'd entertain a motion. Sounds like we're all in favor.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we sign the MOU between Payette County and Canyon County for GIS 911 data sharing.
I'll second.
All right, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. All right, consider State of Idaho Juvenile Corrections Agreement Detention/Treatment Services. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Trent, have you reviewed all of this?
Yes, I have reviewed this. This is fairly standard, and we do work with the Department of Juvenile Corrections on this on a regular basis, and I think they're pretty good to work with. So.
Good. John, do you have any updates?
So we've had this agreement for quite a while. They are very good to work with on our end. Our daily charge is $240 a day. The state would like to pay $250 a day, which I'm okay with.
Check. All right. Questions, comments? I'm really ready to sign.
Yes, yes. Before they change their mind, Mr. Chairman, I move that we sign the agreement with the State of Idaho Department of Juvenile Corrections Detention Treatment Services.
I will second with discussion. There's attachments listed on this on the scopes of work for that, which is pretty extensive. I think it merits the increase on that. Thank you for the work that you do. I do read the books that come out of there on the writing programs, and it's significant work that you do to try and help people. If you read that, it's between the lines what's happening in people's lives, so the difference that you make, I just think that's worth putting on the record. Thank you.
Absolutely, it's worth putting on the record, and thank you for your work and your staff that you do, work that they get done. All right. So motion's been made, and you did second that?
I think that was all done.
Okay, good. That was your intent. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, thanks, Sean. All right. Next agenda item is consider ordinance amending Chapter 4, Article 1, Section 5, Park Administration, and Section 11, Prohibited Acts.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, we've got a couple items here on the agenda for ordinance changes. You said Section 4.1, right?
Yes.
Oh, no, Prohibited Acts, sorry. Okay, so yeah, we have a couple user groups that have been popping up quite a bit lately, and we decided it was time to make some clarifications to our amendments. So we've been working with legal on these, and the user groups are really metal detectors and drones. And the issue with metal detecting is just clarifying that please don't dig in our parks without permission. And what we had to clarify is what that means by, you know, potentially causing damage, and clarifying that we're talking about rocks or soil or basically the ground. Like, just like you should call dig line. I mean, we've got some parks with sprinklers. We don't want you messing with the sprinklers. We have other parks with archaeological stuff where you just shouldn't be digging. And so that is just adding some clarification to those that area that would pertain to them without saying you can't metal detect, but you would at least need to get permission because you can't just dig on property. So that also prevents anyone else from just deciding to dig on property. As far as the drones right here, what we're trying to do is make sure that what we have on the ordinance lines up with what drone users keep emailing us about, what the FAA says and whose jurisdiction is whose. The intent for the way we had this written before was simply to open the door to a conversation. I've never told people they can't use drones. The original intent was just, please talk to the director and get permission, at which point all I would do was say, hey, know where your property boundaries are, because I can only give you permission of, you know, related to mine. And also, when you're in a park, realize that there are other public members that might not want to be harassed, and also wildlife in certain areas, especially the birds of prey. Unfortunately, we have seen people take their drones right up to the bird's nest, and really, like, that could commit a federal crime, from my understanding, for harassing protected wildlife. So really, it's the intent was to try and open up that conversation with people. But instead, what we've done is open ourselves to a bunch of emails of them saying, you don't have jurisdiction to say this. And, you know, what if I needed to work? Well, anyway, we're trying to save everyone a lot of work by just changing the ordinance to comply with the emails that the FAA is getting involved with and sending us of what we can and can't do. So here we're clarifying that you can't launch or land drones or on county property. Right? So if they're off county property, there's nothing we can do about it for launching or landing. But we have added in there, low altitude operation poses safety risk, potential property damage, wildlife harassment, and interferes with the peaceful enjoyment of the parks, to hopefully get across the things that we do have concerns with even those low altitude operations. I'm not sure if legal wants to add anything or Mike. Mike has worked on this one quite a bit with
Yeah, we have gone back and forth on this in discussing, you know, altitude and what's allowable. My understanding is there's not a clear definition yet from the FAA. I mean, above 500 feet is for sure we have no control or jurisdiction over. I think we arguably could do an altitude of around 200 feet or lower, but in talking with Parks, they weren't comfortable and didn't and wanted to avoid any possible litigation in regards to that, and so we settled on this.
You can legally tell whether it's RC or man-operated aircraft that you can or cannot take off from your property, period, and that pretty well eliminates the question about altitude. But to me, if they're harassing wildlife, if they're disturbing the peace, we should be able to deal with that through other ordinance means rather than specifying it in this. So, right, I feel comfortable with where we've ended up. I think we've done a good job. The only thing I might have added was the nuance. If disturbing wildlife, you might be liable for federal statutes, which are not ours. I mean, we don't, to my knowledge, we have no ordinance on harassing birds of prey or anything else. So.
We don't, because, I mean, in my mind, yeah, it would defer to the federal protections. I mean, I'll default to the commissioners and legal if there's something else to add there. Our whole point was just, you know, we're more consistently getting these emails. We're on somebody's list to try and harass to change these rules. And, you know, in our mind, unless we want to be the hill, you know, this to be the hill we die on in a legal fight, let's just change it and try and get our point across. And, you know, I do have staff that is very protective of, like, the birds down there, and I feel comfortable that they could approach someone and say, hey, do you realize you could be committing a federal crime by going that close? So we have ways to address it. Sure. You know, the original intent was really just to try to get people to have a conversation with me so I could give them those heads up. But, you know, it's not worth a lot of time just dealing with these advocacy groups. Rather, you know, we're spending more time dealing with advocacy group emails than we are with having conversations with drone people. So,
Chairman?
Yes?
I like your idea, even if it's just deciding what the federal, I mean, we didn't write it, but if it's in there, then at least, you know, some people are from Missouri, show me. It's right here on our ordinance, the federal, that you would be violating. I mean, it doesn't even have to be emotional, it's just factual.
We could add that, but ignorance of the law is not an excuse. So
right.
I don't know if we have to spell out every possible scenario that could get somebody in trouble.
Well, I guess my reasoning on that, where there's some robust discussion going back and forth, then you just say, hey, this is in our ordinance. It's not something we wrote. Chairman, you or Commissioner Brooks are welcome to jump in, but for Parks, it's had some turnover, so if you have someone down there at Celebration Park that may not be as familiar, then they would have a ready access to a document, our own ordinance that cites a federal code.
One thing that in working on our Parks Department procedures manual is including some ordinances that it's good for our staff to know. And so certain federal ordinances regarding archaeology or like that, that would probably, the easiest one would probably be the Migratory Bird Act.
Mm-hmm.
So that one I could have in that for staff to reference and know that it's a reference.
Okay. All right. I have an idea, but I don't want to put it on the record. So. Yes?
If I may.
Yes.
A little bit. So yeah, basically what we're trying to do is we want to be compliant with the FAA, and they've been really clear about, you know, we're on solid ground as far as launching and landing.
Yeah, you are.
As you mentioned, Chair. But the altitude is just one of these, it's evolving. I believe in the future, it'll probably evolve again as drones are becoming more prevalent. They're talking about, you know, using drones for deliveries and things like that. So we may hear something in the future, you know, again, regarding some sort of altitude carve-outs or something like that. But they're where it's at now is just from their attorney, where they actually have a preemption division or something in FAA, in their legal, the ordinance where prohibiting operating below 500 feet, this portion of the ordinance does raise preemption issues. So that's the, you know, so we want to basically avoid that by, I believe, what we're proposed today.
I would just interject that you're dealing with a mayor that has a residential air park, and I probably know way more about this subject than I care to express.
Thank you.
I'm very comfortable with where you've ended up at. All right.
So, Chairman, just give clear direction then to, we are not going to add at this point the federal?
No.
Okay.
No, I think that the park rangers and our staff can note that to potential violators are concerned about what they might be
okay
getting themselves into.
And Mr. Chair, that is something that we try and review with our staff anyway, because we do have, I mean, there are birds down there, and so I don't like the idea of my staff home doing something unintentionally illegal. So I do try and remind them that, hey, you know, you can't collect a bird's nest and go home with it. You can't take feathers. If it's a migratory bird, that is a federal crime. Don't do, like, I can't control what you do in your personal life, but do not come to work and take something like that home. You're going to get, you run the risk of getting in trouble, right? So it is something that we try and bring up recurringly just to make them aware.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chairman, I'm in favor of what's been presented then for both the prohibitive acts and the use of drones.
Okay. So let's consider both the ordinance amending and consider the summary of the ordinance amending.
Okay.
And the motion.
Chairman, I move that the board signs the ordinance of the Canyon County, Idaho, amending Chapter 4, Article 1, Section 5, Park Administration, and Section 11, Prohibitive Acts of Canyon County Code of Ordinances and Severability Clauses and Effective Dates, as well as the Summary Ordinance of Canyon County, Idaho, amending Chapter 4, Article 1, Section 5, Park Administration, and Section 11, Prohibited Acts, as presented.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I think the only thing we didn't bring up is that in that Parks Administration part, we're just changing his to their.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay. Just, I didn't go over that. I thought we were doing these separate. So
that's just commonsensical.
Yeah. It's just while we were changing things, we went, oh.
Perfect.
I'm not a he. Let's change that.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. You run across that all the time. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. For those on the audio record, we did skip consider independent contractor agreement with Clean Earth. They had not gotten their contract signed and back to us, and so we are not considering that whatsoever this morning. So we've passed it by. Okay. Next on the agenda is consider independent contractor agreement with Christie Hard Law and CPA, GAL, and DDK Services. And should we also, they're the similar contracts with Scott Gatewood. Is that true?
That's true, right? They're similar.
Do we want to discuss both at the same, or are they unique?
Nope, they're not unique. They're the same as the other contracts we signed last week. These are just two more attorneys that hadn't had them signed last week.
And we put that on the record that there would be some more coming later on.
Correct.
So, okay. Questions or discussions?
I don't have any questions, Chairman. I thought they did a good job presenting last week. Krista Howard's been in with the county for a long time and served under Chief Bazzoli in public defense. So these are well-known names that I think do a good job and serve the public well, including Mr. Gatewood. So I'm in favor of signing the contracts.
And would you make the motion?
I move that we sign the independent contractor agreement for court-appointed counsel for both Krista Howard Law for CPA, GAL, and DD case services, as well as Scott Gatewood for the same.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Is there any other business that we need to take care of under legal update this morning?
Chief? Sure, I do have one question for legal. Could we sign on the opiate, the two new settlements that came up? Yes. Since today was the deadline?
Yeah. Okay. Everything's been signed. We had to do a resubmission on one of them because they required a quote-unquote wet signature. So we printed those off, signed them, we scanned them, and sent them back. So
okay.
We're on top of all of those settlements.
Okay. All right. All right. Anything else? Okay. All right.
Chairman, I do have one question. Maybe that's, it's just the status on a response to an employee inquiry that would be appropriate for, but I can ask afterward as well too.
I'm trying to decide. I think I'd be interested in that too, so let's do that under DNF.
Okay. And can we include B? It's no longer, it's retired out.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Chairman, I move that the board adjourns to executive session under Idaho Code 742061, subsection D for records exempt, and F to communicate with our legal counsel regarding pending or likely litigation.
A second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. What say you, Commissioner Van Beek?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Holton says yes. Motion carries. Let's consider ourselves recessed to executive session.